Well, good morning. Kids, if you are ready, you can go and be dismissed for your children's lesson time. We are in a new sermon series. We're calling it Christmas in Philippi. It's basically the idea of what would it look like when the gospel or the message of Jesus comes to a new place? And that new place starts to experience the reality of God's Son, our Savior. Christmas, I'm defining as God having sent a Redeemer and people becoming alert to who the identity of Jesus is. Now, the reason I'm taking us on this series is because I believe oftentimes Christmas loses its meaning just because we go through the routines and the repetition of things over and over and over again. And you almost have to work at what is this all about? Christmas is that God has sent a Redeemer, and He has allowed us to become aware of His presence so that we could place our faith in Him. Now, and the very first Christmas, there weren't signs on the businesses or on the streets. There weren't trees lit up to let people know, oh, something special is happening. Actually, the Christmas season that Jesus, when He first came, was very ordinary, very normal, very real. In fact, very few people even knew that Jesus had arrived, that the Messiah had come. Now, my desire is for you not just to celebrate Christmas and have presents with your friends and family, not just to celebrate the joy that you have of giving gifts and receiving gifts, not just to remember Jesus born in a manger, but my desire is that this Christmas you would have the longing in your heart that prompted God to send Jesus. The longing of your heart would be that a nation that's far away and people that have turned their hearts away from God might turn their hearts back to God. And they might come to a place of awareness that maybe this Christmas somebody would actually make a decision to say, I believe there's more to this baby than just the Christmas carols and the away in a manger. I believe this baby is my Savior, Redeemer. And His death redeems me from my sins. Christmas is really any day of the year when somebody comes and makes that decision, says, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I accept Him as my Savior, and our lives are reborn. Scripture talks about that as being born again, and Christ is born. Christmas happens in your life. Now, I want to ask you, what would it look like if Christ came this Christmas in somebody's life around you? If the routines of Christmas all of a sudden kind of faded away and the reality of God sending a Redeemer actually came into awareness of somebody, their heart started to open up and they started to realize the beauty of the Creator, the grace of God, and the identity of Jesus Christ, and they placed and laid down their life in front of Jesus. My longing would be that this Christmas, Kingsway would be helping people discover hope through Jesus so that it wouldn't just be Christmas 2019. It would be a Christmas born again. I've received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I remember growing up, images of the birth of children for families. And I remember the dad waiting in the waiting room. You remember hearing those stories? If you're younger than 50, you probably don't even remember this. But it used to be dads couldn't go into the birthing room. But dads would sit in a waiting room. Their wife would go in and have the baby. The doctor would deliver the baby. And then you'd be waiting for the doctor to come to say what it was. Remember that? It's a girl or it's a boy. Well, I remember being in the room when Carolyn was having our children. And I remember the incredible joy of watching this miracle of life happen as this baby came out of the womb and into life, and I was able to hold him or her for the very first time. Now, that is about that much compared to the joy of you experiencing somebody else coming to the awareness where the mystery of God is no longer a mystery. And all of a sudden, the reality of Jesus becomes real. And they're convicted of their sins, and they decide to trust this promise of the grace of God. And when you get to be in the birthing room, when somebody accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, there is no better joy than that. So if I could, last week we talked about the longing of Christmas, about the desire for somebody to be able to find help, and the desire of Paul and the people to be able to see the Messiah be born, and the desire of an elderly man and an elderly lady, Anna and Simeon, longing for the Messiah to come and for Israel to be redeemed and called back to the Messiah. This week, we're going to look at Christmas in Philippi. We're turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. And we're going to read a story of the very first person who decides to give their life to Jesus in the town of Philippi. Christmas starts to happen. Now, we don't know what day it was, so we can't celebrate it as, hey, it was December 25th that this gal gave her life to Jesus. But we get to be in the birthing room. We get to see what happens as she gives her life to Jesus. We're going to look at Philippi, and then we're going to look at a similar story in Nazareth, and then we're going to try to see how that plays out in our life. So would you pray with me? Father God, as we open up your word, we believe this book is unlike any other book in the world. We believe this book was breathed by you. You spoke words into its authors. You guided their hand as they told the stories of the life of Jesus and of your plans and purposes throughout the ages, from creation until you return. And now we get to open this section of Scripture where you prompted Luke to record a story of a person turning their life to Jesus. Father, would you open our ears to hear what you want to speak to us today? Would you open our hearts to be willing to put into practice what you teach us? And then, Father, would you open our mouths so that we could declare your good story, what we've learned, to other people? Father, make this time a holy time. Teach us, prompt us, move us by your Holy Spirit as we study your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Acts chapter 16, we're going to start in verse 13. Just background, if you remember, first of all, let me say something. We missed being here last Sunday. I missed hearing Matt preach. I wish I could have been here when Matt preached, and he preached on this longing, the longing for Christ to come. I also missed Graham's baptism. I wish I could have been here for that. But our family celebrates Christmas at Thanksgiving time, and we took the weekend to celebrate, we call it Christ-giving. I think the proper order would be Thanks-mas. Thanksgiving first, and then on Friday or Saturday, we do Christmas with our family. And we had a Christmas worship service on Sunday morning with our family. That was just wonderful. But I missed being here. So thank you for those of you who are here who have welcomed Carol and I into your church family. We're thrilled to be a part of what God's doing here at Kingsway and humbled to be able to be leading in this. The story here, Paul has been preaching the gospel in cities. He's been trying to go to some places, and for some reason the Holy Spirit has closed doors. He hasn't been able to go to some of the places he wanted to. And in the night, Paul has a dream, and the dream is a man from the area of Macedonia, says, come over to Macedonia and help us. So Paul and his companions travel to Macedonia, and they land in the city of Philippi. And they stay there for a few days, and on the Sabbath day, we're going to catch up with them and see this is going to actually be the birthing room for a new spiritual life in Christ. Verse 13, on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place to pray. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia. She was a dealer in purple cloth, and she was a worshiper of God. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me to be a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house, and she persuaded us. So a couple of things I want to do as we look through this passage of Scripture. I want you to know, first of all, Paul and his friends have come to Philippi because they believe they've been called by God, that there was somebody in Philippi that was longing for their help, for the gospel to be able to come there. When they get to Philippi, they don't find anybody interested. It's like God sent them there but didn't tell anybody else that the gospel was coming. And they're hanging around the city. They're trying to look for opportunities and open doors. I imagine on day two, day three, day four, they might have been thinking, did I misread that dream? Was that just bad burritos at the Troas Taco John's? Did I miss it? And so on the day, Sabbath day, there's not even a Jewish synagogue in this large city. It's a large Roman city, very popular economic center, government center, but there's no Jewish synagogue, no place to worship. Normally, Paul would go there. So since there's not a synagogue, Paul goes outside the city, down by the river where he and his companions are going to pray. Now, I want to just mention something. I think that's the right starting point anyway. I'm sure they'd been praying before, but on this Sabbath day, they're kind of frustrated that their efforts aren't producing any results yet. They haven't found this man who prayed for them to come over to Philippi and help them. So they go out to the riverside and start to pray, and they're going to ask God, please help us to find the person that you want us to share the gospel with. Now, when they get down by the river, there's a group of ladies that are there as well. And they may be probably not Jewish ladies. Lydia is described as a worshiper of God, which means that she's probably a Gentile, but she believes in God and so has heard about the Jewish faith. But there's not enough Jewish people there for there to be a synagogue, so they gather, must be out by the river to pray. And so there's some women who have gathered there. Paul says, we began to speak with the women that were there. Now, Luke is recording this. He doesn't even tell us what they were talking about. He just says, we started talking to the ladies that were there at the riverside. And out of this happenstance meeting, this interrupted intention to pray, and this conversation that starts to happen between Paul and his companions and these ladies that are gathered there, God does something. God opens Lydia's heart, and she starts to understand and ask questions about the gospel. And as God prompts her, she's ready to respond. Now, first thing I want you to know, this is a little surprising. Paul's dream was of a man. Come over to Macedonia and help us. Paul's purpose was to share the gospel, and he thought he was looking for a man who would be a leader in that city and would help open the doors for them to share the gospel with other people. But on this Sabbath morning, all they have is a group of ladies to pray with. And in the midst of that conversation, God sparks and conceives faith in a woman. And she comes to the point where she's ready. She's hearing the message of the gospel from Paul. I imagine the conversation may have been something like this. Paul's introducing himself. Lydia is a businesswoman in the area. She's always looking for new people to make connections with. She's a networker, probably. So she's telling a little bit about herself and her business. They're talking about things. She asks Paul, "Why are you here? You're not from around these places. You're new to Philippi." And Paul possibly starts to say, "Well, I'm here because I had a dream that I was supposed to come here and tell this message to people." "Oh, what message?" So Paul starts to talk about Jesus, talks about his own conversion, I imagine. Imagine he's talking about who Jesus was. This is almost 900 miles from Jerusalem, so this woman has probably never, ever heard of Jesus. And Paul shares the story of Jesus. Now, there's a number of women listening, but one of them leans in. And Lydia starts to ask questions. And so Paul starts answering more of the questions. Now, all the Bible tells us here is Paul spoke with the women, had a conversation with the women, and that she was responsive to the message of the news that he was saying. So all you and I can do from reading this passage of Scripture is assume and try to piece together what might Paul have said that would have led Lydia to start to say, "Hey, there's something new here that I haven't heard about." So this is a little surprising how this comes up. This isn't a church service. This is just a group of people gathering together, having a conversation. And in that conversation, Jesus gets mentioned, and his story gets told. Now, I'm going to bring you back to that at the end, because I believe Christmas in Philippi could actually be repeated as Christmas in Millard, Christmas in your hometown. Because it's very possible that some of the conversations and some of the people that you know, people who don't know Jesus as their Savior, it may be that God will open their hearts in the midst of a conversation, in the midst of you just talking about what Jesus means to you, that God may cause them to lean in. And you get to share the story, and you get to see that God is causing their heart to not just lean in, but to make a decision to follow Jesus. And when I read this passage of Scripture, I think, man, what if that happened 40 times in the next 3 weeks here? And that this Christmas, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we would actually also be celebrating people making decisions for Christ and people being baptized into Christ because they've heard it and they've understood it and they're ready to respond so that Christmas could happen in their hearts right now. Now, let's look. As we go through the series, we're going to see three different people where Christ is born, where Christmas happens in Philippi. This time, I want you to look carefully at who this Lydia woman is. Verse 14. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira, which is over in the area where Paul has been in. It's in current modern-day Turkey. It's a place that has there's a dye from seashells in that area, from mollusks in that area, that creates a purple dye, and it's uniquely in that area. And so she has made a business out of taking this purple dye and putting it on clothes and then selling it around the world. And she's now probably 400 miles from her hometown doing business in this metropolitan area of Philippi. So she's a businesswoman, successful. She's a dealer in cloth, and she's a worshiper of God. Now, let me just say two things here. It may very well be that the people that where Christ wants you to be kind of in the delivery room, wants you to be helping to assist with them to be able to make a decision to find new life in Jesus. It may very well be that those are going to be people who look like they have everything together. They look like financially they're doing okay. Their business is succeeding. Their family looks like everything's going okay. They look to be a really blessed family. And they even have some religious experience. They seem to be a person of, you might call it, faith or belief or convictions. But there's a reality in that perceived perception and that understanding that you have is that a person could be religious, they could be financially well off, they could have a really happy family, and they could be doing well in whatever career that they're wanting to be in. But they could be dead in sin and doomed to hell because they don't know Jesus. Now, I don't know how to address this other than saying God was moving in Lydia's heart because even though she had all of those things that looked like they were all together, life was great. You would have said, man, she's got everything going. God moved in her heart to cause her to sense there's something more. There's something I'm missing. Now, I believe around you are some people who by human standards look like they've got everything together. You go to them and you look, man, I wish I was driving that car. I wish my job was secure as theirs. Man, look at that bonus they got at the end of the year. You may see some people around you who look like they have it all together, but in eternity's standpoint, they are still outside of Christ. They may even be a religious person. Now, let me just say, they may even go to a church that preaches the gospel, but they've never surrendered to the gospel. And it may very well be that this Christmas, God wants you to share the gospel, to share the story of Jesus with somebody like Lydia. Because the one thing they really need is to move from being a vague worshiper of God to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. See, God sent Jesus because without Jesus, you and I are all doomed to hell. Now, that's not a very pleasant thought. It's not that God wants that. It's just that our sins have so broken us that there's no way for us to be good enough to get to heaven. And every one of us, now we can attend church as long as you want to attend church, but if you never accept Jesus Christ as a Savior, say, I'm going to let Him be my redemption. I'm going to be Him be the one who does the righteousness, and I'm going to try to follow Him, but I know my effort to be good enough is never going to get me there. There is somebody around you who looks like their life has it all put together. And you've been afraid to share the gospel because they don't even really need it. What's the gospel going to do for them? Well, it's going to give them the assurance of salvation, forgiveness of their sins, and a right relationship with God. Christmas in Philippi happened because Paul, in a conversation, found a woman who was looking for more. And when he started talking about Jesus and how Jesus lived, how Jesus died on the cross, according to what the Old Testament had promised, and that God put on Him the sins of all of us, so that anyone who would believe in Jesus would be able to have everlasting life, because there's no other name under heaven given among men by which you must be saved. Paul introduced her to Jesus. And in that moment, God started doing something. He started moving in her heart. And I want you to focus, I want you to underline in verse 14 where it says, God, the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. I want you to write on the sidelines or margins of your Bible or on a piece of paper, what does it look like when God starts to move in a person's heart to open their heart? So let me just say, there's a group of ladies sitting around Paul and his friends here, and suddenly God does something to cause Lydia's heart to start to come alive. And it's open to start receiving some of the message. What would that look like? How would you notice if somebody's heart was being opened by God around you? Now, number one, let me just say, if you're not talking much about God or about your faith, and not in weird ways, but just in normal ways, I told a couple of people this weekend that I've already had Christmas and that our family had Christmas together and that we had a worship service. And at the hotel where we were at with our kids, I told the people, we're going to be meeting there this morning, and our last activity of our time together is going to be a worship service. And somehow, I'm looking for leaving clues a little bit to see if anybody leans in to ask about it. How do you do a church service on your own with your family? What do you do when you do church together? Now, I've told a couple of people this week of some elements of that church service and how kids express their faith in God and how we saw them learn a lesson about surrendering to Jesus and trusting Jesus. Now, if most of your conversations through the normal day rarely ever bring up anything spiritual, it will probably be hard for you to notice if God's working in a person's life because you're not really giving any food out there for them to kind of respond to. So let me ask you this. Is it possible that your conversations with others could be seasoned? One of the passages of Scripture says it could be seasoned with salt. It could be made flavorful. It could be talking about differences that are happening in your life. You might say, hey, I was at a meeting the other day, and I heard somebody talk about speaking at a deeper level with people rather than just talking about cliche things like, how's the weather? How'd the Huskers play? What are you going to do since you're not watching them play a bowl game? Whatever it might be. What would it be like if our conversations actually got to soul level? More than just what a person does, but how they do it. And as you have those conversations, you're going to find some people that enjoy the conversation, but that's all that happens. You'll find possibly somebody where God's opening their heart and they're starting to say, you know, I've wondered about faith for a long time. I remember going to church. I remember my grandma praying at Thanksgiving meals, or it could be anything. And you're saying, boy, God's doing something in that life. I want to ask you, would you ask God to give you one person each week where you could be able to have a spiritual conversation with? Somebody that you'd be able to say, how are things going? You could maybe tell them things about yourself, find out about how do they manage the stress of their work? What do they find that helps keep them stable and straight, ordered? Find some way to talk beyond the surface and down into the soul. And then you might start to notice when God is opening a heart to respond to the gospel. And if the heart's starting to open, I encourage you, share your story of faith. What was it like when you surrendered your life to Jesus? Share your story of faith. And as they start to lean in to more questions, you invite them how they could make that same decision. Somehow that element of that conversation was happening with Paul and Lydia. And by the end of this prayer time together, Lydia's made a decision to surrender her life to Jesus. She demonstrates that surrender. We don't even have a mention that Paul mentioned baptism, but we see that she surrenders her life to Jesus. She and all the members of her household, which would have been household servants, family members, her husband, also made decisions for Christ and were baptized, and she offers hospitality. Christ was born. You've just been in the birthing room of a successful person recognizing they need Jesus. A religious person recognizing their faith needs to be trusted in Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to turn to your Bibles now back to the Christmas story. And I want to see a similar situation. I want to look at the life of Mary in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We're going to catch it in the middle of the time when the angel announces to Mary that she's going to give birth to the baby, Jesus. And let's start with verse 34. Now, this, in comparison, again, similar to the Lydia story, Mary has been going through her normal life. Unlike Lydia, Mary is just a young lady, probably 14 years old, probably an early teenager. And she's been going through her life. She's betrothed to a man named Joseph, who also lives in Nazareth. And she's going to be his wife someday. And they're in the betrothal period, so there's a period in there where Matthew is preparing to make the build a house, get a business, get ready so that he can be able to marry Mary and bring her into his home. Everything is normal. Everything looks like it's on track. Mary is a righteous, a godly woman, but again, there's a Jesus factor that is going to come in here, and God's going to do a miracle in her life to focus her attention on Jesus. Look at verse 34. Mary says, "How will this be since I'm a virgin?" The angel has told her, "You're going to give birth to a son." Then verse 35, the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born of you will be called the Son of God." So here again, you see when God starts to create Christmas, there is a Holy Spirit, a spiritual act of God to create an openness for Christ to be born, for the news of Jesus and the message of the Messiah to be able to be realized. Mary's in a very unique spot. She's going to be the mother of the Messiah. And it's going to be done, Scripture says, in a miracle. She hasn't had intimate relationships with any man. The Holy Spirit is going to conceive Jesus in her womb. And Jesus, eternal God, is going to become cells dividing, preparing to be a 9-month development for Jesus to be born. Mary is in an awkward spot. Verse 38 of Luke 1, Mary does the same thing that Lydia does when she heard news about Jesus. Mary says, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. Ultimately, Christmas happens when somebody moves from knowing about Jesus to really knowing and accepting Jesus. And once you learn about Jesus, it's always going to lead to a point that Lydia and Mary experienced, which is this decision to surrender my will so that God's will could be accomplished. So let's play this out for Christmas in Millard. I want you to think of some of the people that you have connections with. And we're going to do the Mary thing first. What if God has planned that you're the person who's going to introduce that person to Jesus? What if, like Paul goes to Philippi and meets Lydia, what if you're the Paul? What if you're the one who's supposed to share the message, but you never quite get around to having a conversation about the soul, about what do they think is going to happen to them after they die? Maybe they've lost a loved one. And as you're talking to them about their grief, you get to share your confidence that death isn't going to be the end for you and that you have the hope of everlasting life because you've placed your faith in Jesus. Now, that's going to sound really weird to them, but you will find out if God's opening a heart by them asking questions. Tell me, how can that be? How do you know that? And you get to share your decision of faith, of surrendering your life to Jesus and the promise you have, and Jesus' resurrection that gives you hope of everlasting life. So let me ask you, if you're that person who's supposed to share the message of hope with someone else, today I want you to do what Mary did. Now, there may be somebody that's already on your mind, or somebody you know you should share the hope of Jesus with. Maybe this week will be unlike any other week that you've had, is that you're actually going to talk about your faith with some people around you. Some of them are going to reject it. Some of them will nod and say, that's nice for you. But somebody will say, you know, I've been wondering about this. I've been driving by a church for years, and for some reason, I keep feeling like I need to go there. There's something I need to find out there. I want to ask you, if God wants you to be a part of the birthing process for somebody else to come to know Jesus as their Savior so Christmas could happen in their life, would you put aside the excuses? That seems impossible. I could never do that. That's what Mary was thinking. I could never do that. How's that going to happen? And God's going to say to you, hey, it's not going to happen because you're so smooth or you have all the answers. It's going to happen because the Holy Spirit's going to help you have that conversation. And I just want to tell you, when you step into that conversation and you sense the Holy Spirit giving you words that you didn't even, you can't remember when you learned that. Why did that verse of Scripture come into your mind as you're sharing that story? But you're going to sense the Holy Spirit enlivening you to be able to share the story of Jesus. And when you see that person start to lean in rather than pull back, that's your sign God's opening a heart. And continue that conversation. And maybe it's going to take a couple of days of conversations, but continue that conversation. Today, can I ask you, no more excuses. There's somebody around you who God is ready to open their heart so they could respond to the message. He just needs a messenger. Would you say, like Mary, okay, God, let your purposes be fulfilled in me. I'm your servant. Can I ask you today, as we end up our service, I want you to whisper those words of Mary. And I just want you to think that the same anxiety you feel as I'm saying, because I'm feeling this, okay, if I'm asking you to do this, I'm going to have to myself this week, I have to have a spiritual conversation with somebody. And next Sunday, you better ask me, did you have a spiritual conversation with anybody? Because you told us we were supposed to. And what happened? I encourage you to ask me, and I may ask you. Because I know the fears that you maybe not have all the answers or the questions, or maybe my life isn't perfect. I don't know that my life is the best example for somebody else. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be a step ahead of the person in front of you. Have you followed Jesus and surrendered your life to Jesus? Then you have enough ahead that you can lead somebody else into that relationship. So when we pray at the end of the sermon, I want to ask you, would you whisper Mary's words? Say, God, I'll be your servant. And I'll share with somebody the message of Jesus. And if there's an open heart around me, would you help me to be ready to be have the right words to help introduce them to Jesus? Here's the second thing. You may be here today, and you've never really made the shift from knowing about God to knowing Jesus. You would tell people, when you describe your faith, you would say, I believe there's a God. In the back of your mind, you say, I'm not sure about Jesus. Can I ask you, press in on that area that you're unsure? There's a lot of people in this church who'd like to help introduce you from a vague faith in God to a personal faith and belief in Jesus. And many of these people have made this same process of giving their life and surrendering their life to Jesus so Jesus could be born in them. And I'd encourage you, ask somebody here. If you're somebody who's been around church, but you've never made a decision to say, I believe who Jesus is, and I'm ready to follow him, I want to ask you today, has God been working in your heart? Has he done some things in your life that have caused you to recognize, I couldn't be where I'm at without his help? Something has all of a sudden awakened in me to God's doing something in my life. And today, if you've never made a decision to say, I will surrender to Jesus, I'll respond to him. Today, I'll make the decision to be baptized, to be born again, so that this Christmas, 2019, I'll remember forever because it's the day that Christmas happened in my heart. Would you pray with me? Father God, I believe in this room, there are people like Lydia, people who seem to have everything together, but times at night, times in the midst of the stress of all the things that are going on, there's this sense that there's got to be something more. And even this vague faith, this unpersonal kind of ritual that they've gone through, has not really satisfied the deep longing in their soul for a Savior and the assurance that their life has been forgiven, their wrongs have been washed away, and that they are in a personal relationship with you. So Jesus, today, I just pray that Christmas would happen right here in Kingsway for anybody who's like Lydia, and you've been moving in their heart, and they're starting to become aware of spiritual things. Father, I pray that the message of Jesus today would be able to help them make the same decision and respond like Lydia did, placing their faith in Jesus and being baptized into him, and defining themselves not as a business person, not as a wealthy person, not as a seller of purple, not even just a worshiper of God, but would define themselves as a disciple of Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray for that decision for anyone who is in this room in that state. And then, Father, I pray for the rest of us who have received Christmas. We know Jesus as Messiah. And Father, you've placed on us a mission that we're supposed to be able to help Jesus be born in other people. And so I'm praying over our congregation in the Omaha metro community. And I'm praying specifically this week for people who seem to have everything together, but that you've already started a work of causing them to sense that there's got to be something more. And maybe this Christmas would be the the time of the year, this would be the year that they decide to let Jesus Christ be Savior of their life. And Father, we just want to say, we want to be a part of that birth process. So for our fears that we have, that we may not have the right words, Father, would you give us the holy assurance that the Holy Spirit's going to guide us? For our awkwardness about having a conversation that's deeper than just cliche things, Father, would you give us insights on how to take a conversation deeper, how to have that added statement that maybe uncovers a situation in the heart or the soul or the mind or thoughts of people. And then, Father, I pray that you would begin opening up hearts around us. I pray that this Christmas would not just be Christmas programs and Christmas carols and Christmas cookies. Father, I pray that Jesus Christ would come this Christmas into homes and businesses, and that it would happen just through normal conversations. And Jesus, would you do that here? Do that now. Like Mary, we say we will be your servant. Use us so that Christ could be born in others today. Father, we commit to be a church that's actively, intentionally sharing the message of Jesus to the whole world, one conversation at a time. Help us this week. Would you lead us to a people that we might be able to share that with? And would you help us to be sensitive to hearts that you're already opening up? In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have a decision that you'd like to make, I'm going to ask the praise team to come up. If you have a decision that you'd like to make, or questions about how do you respond to the message, or maybe you're like Lydia and you want to make a decision to say, I want to know more about Jesus. How do I get into a personal relationship with him? How do I get the assurance of salvation? We'll have elders in the back, and I'll be up front. And if you would like to visit with somebody about that decision, we'd love to help you with that. As we sing this song, those of you who are believers, if you're just investigating Jesus,